Hey, this morning we're talking about trusting God. Let me ask you a question, man. Do you know how to really trust God with your life? Man, are you the one that's in control of your life, or are you looking to the Lord? Are you trusting in what He can do in and through your life? This is a powerful question. Today we're talking about one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, and we're talking about trusting God. It's giving up control of our lives. And you know, God created us in the beginning to have a relationship with Him where we did trust Him. And one of the reasons why God is trustworthy is because He knows every single thing about us. Isn't that great? I mean, God knows all of our baggage, past, present, and future. He knows every decision that we're going to make when we leave this building today. He knows everything that we're going to be doing 5 years from now. He knows everything about us that we've never even told anybody else. In fact, the Bible says God even knows the number of hairs on our head. Now, for some of us, that's not very much, you know. But for others of us, that would be a lot. And God knows all of that. And that's why we can trust Him, man. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And today we want to just unlock several powerful principles about how we can learn to trust God. Now, we've been in this series on wise living over the last few weeks, and we've been studying the book of Proverbs. And so it's appropriate for us to turn our attention to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's one of my favorite scriptures about trusting God. And I believe God's going to take your faith to a new level this morning, today, if you follow what the Scripture teaches us here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But you know, trusting God is so difficult because life is always changing. You know, we kind of get comfortable with the way things are, and then something changes. You know, we go through a job transition, or we go through a transition with our family, or we move, or our kids reach a new age of maturity. And so life is always evolving. It's always changing. And that requires us to really ask some hard questions and to really look to the Lord and to trust Him, man, because many of us are facing situations this very morning that we've never faced before. And we're thinking, man, I don't know what to do. In fact, maybe you even feel like quitting. Maybe you feel like just giving up. Maybe you think, man, there's no hope. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. You know what? In moments like that, we can learn to trust the Lord. We can learn to trust the Lord. And if we learn to trust the Lord, it will relieve stress and it will bring more confidence into our life as we make decisions. So we have everything to gain from learning to trust the Lord. Now today we want to look at four steps or four aspects, four movements of what it means to trust God. And here's what the Scripture tells us. The Bible says there are three things that we begin to do. When we begin to do the first three things, then God does the fourth thing. A lot of times we want God to do the fourth thing before we do the first three things. But today we're going to talk about three things that God wants us to do to respond in trust and faith in Him. When we do those things, then God's dynamic hand begins to do the fourth thing. So let's check it out here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So the goal is everybody wants to have a straight path. Everybody wants to have a course of action that's laid out before them. We all want that. We all want to have a straight path. We don't want a crooked, windy, uphill climb. We want a straight path. God says, you do these first three things, I'll take care of the fourth thing. And it's interesting that all three of these things that God asks us to do here are imperatives. In fact, in the Hebrew language, an imperative is a command. God says, you must do this. If you want to trust in the Lord, if you want to be a person of faith, you want to be a person that gives over the control of your life to the control of God, there's three things that we got to do in order for that to happen. Now, when that begins to occur, we begin to feel a lot less stress. We begin to feel more confident in our decisions because God's a lot more trustworthy than we are. And see, we get into trouble when we live a life that's just based on the decisions that we want to make. In fact, let me just ask a question. How many of us have made at least one decision in our life that was not God's will, and it turned into a big mess, okay? All right, yeah, that's all of us. All right, if you didn't, you're lying, okay? All of us have done that before. So why would we not want to trust God? He knows everything about us. Trusting God makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? So let's look at this, man. How are we going to do these first three things? The first thing is trust in the Lord, okay? Trust in the Lord. Now, that's the trust phase, okay? And to trust in the Lord means that we give over the control of our life to the Lord. In fact, the Scripture tells us trust is a must. The number one word to describe the Christian faith is trust. You can't even be a follower of Jesus if you don't trust Him for your own salvation. You know, all faith begins with trust. In fact, all relationships begin with trust. I mean, you can't have a marriage if you don't have trust. You can't have friendships if you don't have trust. Life would stink without trust. And although trust is difficult at times, you can't have any relationships without it. So we begin by trust in the Lord, the Scripture tells us. Trust is a must. Now here's the problem. Most of the time, we want to have a zero risk factor when it comes to making hard decisions in life. And we get upset with God when we have hard choices to make and we don't see the exact things that have to happen. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. We don't see the whole path right there in front of us. We get upset. We get frustrated. We get angry with God. A lot of people today say they don't believe in God anymore because they prayed about something and it didn't happen, or they didn't understand something. And we get real testy and real frustrated. But let me ask you this. Is there any area of life that we live where there's a zero risk factor? No. I mean, if you went to your stockbroker and said, I want to buy some stocks and I want to make a lot of money, but I want to take 0% risk, your stockbroker would laugh at you. I mean, if you put money into your retirement fund and you expected for there to be a zero risk factor, you'd lose your mind. When you get married, man, you hope and you pray that you don't go through a divorce. But does divorce happen? It does. Yeah, there's a risk factor, right? When you take a new job and you leave a job that you love, but you take another job, is there a risk factor? Absolutely. There's a risk factor when you get in the car and you drive and you go to work in the morning. Is there a risk factor? There absolutely is. In every arena of life, there's a risk factor. However, when it comes to matters of faith and our spiritual walk with God, we don't like that. And we expect for there to be zero risk factor. We expect God to lay out every single thing that He wants us to do without question, without compromise, that God ought to just give us every bit of information. He ought to give us steps 1 through 50, and we ought to see all of it together. And if I could see everything and I had every question answered, then I would follow the Lord, is what people say. And yet it's so contradictory to the way we live our life in every other arena of life. In fact, some of us today have more confidence in our stockbroker than we do in the living God. Some of us have more confidence in our family than we do in the God of heaven and earth that created us. And so we have to really be honest with ourselves and look back. We have to say, man, you know, trusting God doesn't mean that we have all the knowledge. It doesn't mean we know everything that God is doing. What it means is that we trust and we have confidence in the One who created us and made us. And there's a big difference. And I've been a Christian. I've been walking with God for about 20 years. I've been a Christian a little bit longer. I'm not perfect. I'm still figuring out this journey. And I still got questions, you know, and God's still teaching me and growing me. But I want to share with you today over my spiritual journey of about 20 years and more importantly, from the Word of God, what God says about trusting Him. You know, and the first thing is that trust is a must. Trusting God with everything is the trust phase. And a lot of times we live this contradictory life where we have more confidence in all these other things than we do in the Lord. And it doesn't even make sense. Trusting God is not blind trust that suspends critical judgment. It's not denial or naivety. It's not ignorance. But it is a confidence in the Lord. Okay? And listen, you can be confident in the Lord and not know everything that God's doing in your life. A lot of times what God wants you to know is just what the next step is. You know, we say, well, I would do this that I think God's leading me to do, but I don't know how to get there, and I don't know what to do. And if God would just show me all of these things that need to happen, then I would do that. Listen, all you need to know is to take the first step. And when you take the first step, then God shows you the second step. And when you take the second step, God shows you the next step. And that's what trust is all about. Our confidence is in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In fact, trust is the antidote to worry. And when we don't trust the Lord, we worry and we're paralyzed by fear. And many people are unhappy today because they only partially trust God. I wonder what it would just do for your own emotional stability, for your physical health, for your spiritual health, if you just begin to really trust God for whatever you're facing today. Maybe you're not even sure how you're going to pay your bills this month, and you just say to yourself, you know, I'm just going to trust God on that. Maybe you're thinking today, I don't even know if my marriage is going to survive. And all you can say today is, man, I'm just trusting God. I'm just believing that God's going to do something. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to trust Him. You know? And that may be all that you have, but I want to tell you something today. That's where the journey of faith begins. That's where it gets exciting when we follow God, because we begin to transfer the trust of our life away from self and to the Lord. And that's when God begins to do amazing things in our lives. Isn't that great? So trusting God is best seen in ways that we obey Him. And I love this word, Lord. It says, trust in the Lord. And if you have the NIV, it's L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It's all caps, right? And the reason that the word Lord is capitalized is because in the Hebrew language, this was the most intimate name for God. In fact, the Orthodox Jews in biblical times would not even say this word out loud because it was so holy. They would write it, but they would not pronounce it. And it was a word that had such reverence and respect. This is the intimate name of God. And listen, when you begin to trust God, you begin to get intimate with Him. You begin to know Him. And there's situations that you're facing now that seem overwhelming. And 5 years from now, your faith is going to have grown so much, you're going to be like, yeah, I mean, that's tough, but I've already walked with God. I already know He's going to provide, so that's not really that big a deal. Because you're going to know the Lord. He's going to be intimate with you. The more we begin to trust Him, the more intimate that we become with Him. Just like a relationship we would have with another person. The same is true with our relationship with God. So the more we begin to trust Him, the more intimacy we have with Him. The more we know Him, the more we understand Him, the more that we walk with Him, the more confidence we have in Him. And it begins to transform our lives. So we begin by trust in the Lord. That's the first thing. And then the scripture goes on and it says, and then lean not on your own understanding. Okay? Lean not on your own understanding. Many of us are looking at situations in our lives right now and we're saying, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. You know? What is God doing? We've all felt that way before. Many of us feel that way today. I don't get it. What's going on? The Bible says, don't lean on your own understanding. In fact, notice the yours of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. There's four of them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And see, the only person that can decide if you're going to trust God is you. Nobody can do it for you. You know, it's a decision that you have to make, whether you're going to follow Jesus Christ, whether you're going to follow the Lord. I mean, nobody can do that for you. Nobody can force you. I mean, it's a choice that you have to make. But the scripture says don't lean on your experiences or your intelligence or your contacts or your education or your personality. Lean on the Lord. And the Bible is full of examples of people that leaned on their own understanding. And they leaned on their own understanding, and you know what it was? It became a huge crutch in their life. You know, crutches are things that we lean on other than the Lord. And today our goal is to remove the crutches in our lives. Isn't that right? Sometimes we crutch around. In fact, I remember when I was a senior in high school, I broke my hip, and I had to crutch around. I mean, it was painful. It was not good. Crutches are things that are they're necessary, but they're extremely uncomfortable, aren't they? I mean, they rub big sores under your arms, and they're cumbersome to put in the car and to haul around with you, and they're just, you're all off balance. And I mean, the crutches are awful to have to use, but we lean on crutches. And a lot of times we lean on other things rather than we lean on the Lord. We lean on our own understanding, don't we? In fact, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what must I do to be your disciple? And Jesus said, well, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. In other words, you can't have undivided devotion to Jesus. Jesus is everything. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. You know why? He leaned on his own understanding. He didn't get it. He didn't understand what was going on. Doubting Thomas, after the resurrection of Christ, leaned on his own understanding. He came and saw the wounds of Jesus, but he didn't really believe Jesus had risen from the grave. Why? He leaned on his own understanding. It didn't make sense to him. The Bible says Peter rebuked Jesus when Jesus talked about going to the cross. Can you imagine that? The apostle Peter is telling Jesus what to do. In fact, he even denied Jesus 3 times. Why? He leaned on his own understanding. He didn't get it. The Old Testament is full of examples. In fact, Abraham, the father of faith, God told him he was going to have a son of promise. But when he didn't get pregnant and he was 100 years old, he started getting a little nervous. And we could all understand why. And so he took matters into his own hands, and he had a relationship with Hagar, his wife's handmaiden, his servant. And she conceived and had a son named Ishmael. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was that he have a son by the name of Isaac. And later on he did, and it caused huge division in the home because Sarah, his wife, hated Hagar, the handmaiden that had had the first child, and there was conflict. In fact, the nations of Israel and the Arab states still hate each other today, and it's a conflict that was founded thousands of years ago in the home of Abraham because Abraham leaned on his own understanding, and he created a mess. Jonah. God told Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh to preach. Jonah said, heck no, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to get on a boat going the other direction. He was swallowed by a huge fish, the Bible says. He was later spit up onto the dry land of Nineveh, and he went and preached there, and the whole city turned to the Lord. But Jonah was mad. He didn't want to see these pagan Assyrians commit their lives to the Lord. I mean, by all means, he was a holy Hebrew. Why would he want to see these pagan people be redeemed? And he was angry and he was mad that God had blessed his ministry and his preaching, and he leaned on his own understanding. Samson was given the great responsibility to be a judge of Israel. He had supernatural strength. God blessed him beyond everyone else in terms of physical stamina, physical strength. But Samson had a problem. He liked to hang out at Club Philistia. And it was there that he met a prostitute named Delilah. And he entered into a relationship with her that ultimately led to his own death and his own demise and the end of his ministry. Why? He leaned on his own understanding. See, the Bible says we need to kick the crutch. We need to quit crutching around and leaning on other things other than the Lord. Because see, the life of freedom, the life of trust in God, is a life where we're not leaning on other things. You know, our confidence, what we're doing is we're leaning on the Lord and the Lord only. And we're not leaning on all this other stuff that we tend to use to hold us up and to hold us back. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. See, we trust in Him. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we live by faith, but not by sight. You see, trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding requires us to get God's perspective. Listen, God has the big picture of your life. The problem is we have just the here and the now perspective. We're just thinking about today. God's thinking about our whole life. And sometimes the things that the Lord asks us to do is not just what would bring the greatest benefit in the short term, but it's what would happen in the long term. But a lot of times all we see is what's right in front of us. God sees things, and he asks another question, whatever pleases him. But a lot of times we look to please ourselves, and these things get convoluted and mixed up, and we lean on our own understanding. Now, when we have difficulties and we don't understand everything, we have to just trust God. And I don't understand all the details of my life. I mean, if I understood all the things that have happened to me and what I've been through and whatever else, I mean, I would know so much more than I know today. I don't understand why a lot of things have happened in my past. But you know what? I've learned to trust God. And I know He knows. You know what? And that's okay with me if I don't know all the details. If I don't know every single thing and I don't understand exactly why this happened and why they said this and went there and why this didn't work out and why this did, that's okay. Because I just trust in the Lord. And that's all right. In fact, we'll lose our mind if we feel like we have to have all the information, all the details. That's not what we need today. What we need to know is one thing. That one thing is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord doesn't mean we understand everything. It just means that we trust God. And I don't know what God's plan is for your life, but I do know that when you lean on Him, that whatever His plans are for your life is going to turn out way better than your plans. I can promise you that. I don't know what all the specifics are, but I can promise you that. Whatever your plan is for your life, God has a better plan. And it far exceeds the plan that you have for your own life. So
We need to focus on that. Let's don't lean on our own understanding. Let's kick the crutch. I mean, let's begin to live by confidence and faith in the Lord. And as we surrender our lives, then we begin to do a third thing, and that is discover God in every situation. Okay? Discover God in every situation. That's the visual phase or the perspective phase. In fact, look at this. It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways acknowledge. This word acknowledge literally means to recognize or to see. Okay? So it means to see the Lord in all things. In other words, in all things we're looking for God. We're looking for what God is doing. And a lot of times what we do is we're not looking for God, we're looking at our problems. You know, here's the biggest problem that we have in terms of trusting God. What we're not looking for is the hand and the leadership of God. What we're looking at is we're looking at all the obstacles. That's what we see. So when we lean on our own understandings and all our ways we acknowledge Him, we begin to remove those things. We begin to see the hand of God. And that's the greatest question we can ask ourselves when we're in those moments of where we're going to either trust God or not, is what's God doing? What's God doing? I mean, we all have plans for our lives, and we think, okay, this is the plan that God has. But you know, most of the time, in my own experience, I have found that the exact plans that I have for my life rarely are the plans that God has. In fact, most of the time, His plans are a whole lot better. They work out way better than what I ever thought that they would be. But instead of getting hung up on those specific things, man, what we need to do is we need to just trust the Lord and say, God, whatever plan You have for my life, I'm gonna follow that, and I'm going to look for the hand of God. And that's the greatest question we can begin to ask right there is, well, what's God doing? I don't understand what's going on. What's God doing? Is God doing something different than what I thought He was going to do? Yes. Okay, that's fine. Well, let's figure out what that is. What is the Lord doing? Is He leading me in a new direction? Is He opening up a new opportunity? Is He bringing down a wall? Is He opening up an opportunity? Whatever it is, we're looking for God. And that's what discovering God in every situation is about. Sometimes we have to back up to see what God's doing. Sometimes we have to get a little bit closer to see what God's doing. But the visual phase is that phase where we begin to say, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to look for You. I just want to see, what is God doing? What does God want to do? And just because we don't see God does not mean that He is not at work. I can promise you that. Doesn't mean that He's not behind the scenes doing so many things that we don't see. So just because you feel like you don't see the hand of God, know this, God is still there. You just haven't seen what He's going to do yet. You know, oftentimes it's when we look in retrospect, when we go retro, we look back through the pages of our life, and then we see what God was doing, right? Then it makes a lot more sense. But in the present, everything's blurry. It's all convoluted. You know, we don't understand what's going on. Several years from now, we'll look back at what we're facing today and we'll see what God was doing, and it'll make a lot of sense. But right now, it seems tough. That's why we just got to trust Him. That's why we got to just live in radical faith to Him, man, and just say, God, I don't have to understand everything, but I'm going to trust You. I'm going to look for You in all situations. And this simply tells us to always keep God in mind, always to keep Him as our focus. Now, this is more than just reading our Bible and praying, man, but it's acknowledging, and it's just looking for God's leadership and His hand in whatever we're facing. God wants to be in on every decision in our lives. And the Scripture tells us when we begin to do these first three things, we trust, we lean not on our own understanding, and then we look for Him in everything, we acknowledge Him, then He will make our path straight. Okay, so here's the fourth thing. God says, you do these three things. You trust, you lean, you acknowledge. And then I'll do the fourth thing. I'll make the path straight. Isn't that great? This is what God wants to do. This is God's response. Now, here's what we do a lot of times. We get these backwards. We try to make the path straight, which is what God's supposed to be doing. And then we don't do the first three things. Trust, acknowledge, and lean. And we get these backwards. And that's when we get into trouble, you know? We don't do what God wants us to do, and we do what God's supposed to do. We get those all mixed up. Listen, when we begin to trust, lean, and acknowledge, then God's going to make the way straight. Okay? So check it out. Look at that. And He will make your paths straight, verse 6 says. This doesn't mean life is easy. It doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. But it means that you will have purpose and direction. In fact, the word direct is the word that literally means to cut a highway. You know, God wants to cut a highway. Maybe you've seen a highway develop. They go and they cut down trees and they, you know, level hills and they pour, you know, a smooth road and there's a whole process that goes into that. Well, that's kind of the image that we have in the Proverbs here talking about what God wants to do. He's going to cut the path. Okay, he's going to make the highway there for us to drive our life on. And when God's leading you and you're following, mountains will melt, valleys will be filled, crooked places will be straightened, rough places will be smooth, and doors will be opened, and walls will fall down. In other words, God will clear out every obstacle that is in between you and where God wants you to go. Isn't that good? I spent some time doing some missionary work over in the Ukraine, starting some churches over there. And that's a lot of fun, man. Going to the former Soviet Union, that is a great place to visit. I mean, I've had so much fun over there eating borscht and drinking chai and all that kind of stuff. Good times. I'll tell you, one of the things I've noticed is that the people there in the country of Ukraine do not take care of their roads. I mean, they are a mess. And I was in a city called Prvomaisk, which was actually a military city of the Cold War. It was a closed city. And the Western people were not even allowed to go there.
But after the fall, the communism opened up, and we were starting a church in the city of Prvomaisk. And the main thoroughfare of the town had potholes everywhere.
There was one massive pothole. And I'm not lying, guys. It must have been 3 to 4 feet deep. I mean, it was the most massive pothole I've ever seen. If you would have hit it going 30 or 40 miles an hour, you would have totally wrecked your car. I mean, it was amazing. And I'll never forget the first time that I was riding in the passenger seat of this really old Mercedes, and this little Ukrainian man was driving me around. And you know how when you're driving, you kind of anticipate, you know, with your body, kind of which way the car is going to go, if you're going to turn or change lanes or whatever. All of a sudden, we're coming up on this 3 to 4 foot pothole, and this guy drives up on the curb. There's this little dirt path, little dirt ramp, you know, that you hit. And I'm like, this is like something out of the movies. You know, it freaks me out. I'm thinking, what if there's pedestrians on the sidewalk? And so he runs up on the sidewalk, he misses the pothole, and then there's another little dirt ramp that you kind of drive down on off of the sidewalk, and you come back on the road. And every time we would go through town, we would do this, and it would just freak me out because I would be thinking that we're going to, you know, kind of drive like this, and all of a sudden he would jerk that way, and then people would drive into oncoming traffic, you know, to drive around potholes and things like that. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And people drive really, really fast, and they get on the bumpers of everybody else, and they honk all the time, okay? So, I mean, it is the most stressful, you know, travel experience that you can ever have is driving in the roads there in Ukraine. And in order to do this, everyone is a taxi and cars have the right of way. So I guess if there's people that are, you know, in the way, I mean, I guess it's just tough. You know, the cars are coming, right? And sometimes, you know, the Lord intervenes in our paths, and when we trust in Him, He does do this. He fills in the potholes. When I think about God making the path straight, I think about God taking all the potholes of our path and all the holes and all the winds and twists and turns. And I just see God coming in and filling all those in to make the path smooth, to show us exactly where He wants us to go. And that's what it means to really trust Him. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed." Now, there's three levels that we can live on. A lot of times we live on the first level, and that is, I do what I want to do. You know, I make decisions on whatever I want to do. I just go and do it. And then there's a second level. Some of us live on a little bit higher plane. And that is not just what do we want to do, but what do I think I ought to do, okay? And that's where the level of most Christians live. It's still focused on me. It's what do I want to do, but it's lived with a little more of a sense of ought than just want. But here's the highest plane, and this is what the Christian faith is all about. This is what trusting God's all about. It's asking the question, I do what God leads me to do. So what is God leading me to do is the question. You know, and ultimately, when we trust Him, that's the question that we begin to ask ourselves. So I've got a difficult scenario I'm facing. What does God want me to do? That's the question. Not what do I want to do, Not what do I think I ought to do, but ultimately, what does God want me to do? And when we trust God, then that is the natural response of our lives, is to ask that question. So, what does God want us to do? Now, he gives us wisdom through his word. You know, sometimes we think, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? The scripture. Man, God never will lead us to do something contradictory to the Bible. The leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, a huge part of finding the right path. Wise counsel. The Proverbs talks about there being wisdom, having godly people around us to advise us and to encourage us. And that's a huge part of it. There's a number of things that we can do to find God's direction, but ultimately it comes down to really trusting the Lord and just having confidence in Him. I'll tell you one of the great challenges of our life, and one of the great opportunities to live by faith, has been starting this church. Many of you know that our church is about 2 to 3 months old. Some of you know our story, others of you don't. We moved here last year to start this church, and the interesting thing is that we didn't even know one person that lived in the city of Aurora when we moved here. We believed that God was leading us here. We were trusting in Him, but you know, we didn't know where we were going to meet. It was so funny. People would say, "What are you doing here?" And I'd say, "We're going to start a church." And they're like, "Well, where are you going to meet?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, how many people do you have coming to your church?" "None." "Well, what are you going to do?" "We're not sure." I mean, you know, it was so funny. People were like, "Well, that sounds like a great ministry, you know, that you have here." You know, but we just came in faith and believing that God was going to direct and lead. And I'll never forget, I came and I was trying to find a meeting place, and 5 schools told us no. In fact, there were only 6 schools in this whole area. You know, so this was the last school that we went to. And I had everybody praying on our prayer team all over the country. And we came here, and the principal said, "You know, we'd love to have a church here. It'd be great. Why not? Why don't you start meeting here immediately?" You know? And he was enthusiastic about us meeting here. Man, the other principals wouldn't even hardly talk to us. You know, we're not even interested. We didn't have our finances all the way put together. It takes several $100,000 to get a church off the ground. It takes sometimes more money to get a church started than it even takes to start a business at times. And we didn't have all that. God has provided much of that for us. And we've been able to pay all our bills. We've been able to get the church started. But it's been a journey of faith. We didn't have any people. We just started meeting people, started getting involved in the community. And now so many of you guys are here today. What a confirmation to the plan that God had. Now, it's been scary. I mean, it's been challenging. I don't want to act like this has been easy for me. It's not. It's been tough along the way. But I want to tell you something today. There's nothing more rewarding than stepping out in faith when you really believe God is calling you to do something, and you take that step of initiative, and you're not sure exactly how it's all going to work out. You're not sure where it's all going to come from, but you trust in the one that sent you. And then God begins to do that. And by the way, being a part of the Edge Church, I think it's one of the greatest faith experiences that you can have, because being a part of this ministry is an act of faith. I mean, it is. And your faith is just going to continue to grow. In fact, those that have been on our launch team that have been here from the beginning, I promise you, if you ask them, they would tell you that they have a lot more faith in God than they did several months ago when we were first getting this thing started, because they have seen the hand and the provision of God. And you know what? It'll be an inspiration in your own personal life. Being a part of a dynamic church start, when you see God provide for the church, then you'll think, maybe God could provide for me. And it just builds your faith all the way around. It's exciting, man. It is great to see. We moved up here. Gina was 8 months pregnant. Now, this is crazy. I mean, this is total insanity. We put our house on the market in Dallas. The first people that looked at it bought it. And they looked at it like on the second day it was on the market, that we had a contract on it the second week. We were like, what? We weren't prepared to go that fast. Now, we didn't want to turn down an offer. They offered us full price for it. So we had a full price offer for our house that was a great offer. The economy's down. Houses are on the market for a long time before they sell most of the time. Boom, we have no place to live. So we go move in with Gina's family. And we live there for like a month and a half. And then Gina's 8 months pregnant. We're like, well, do we want to have the baby in Dallas or do we want to have the baby here? We decided it was better to try and have the baby here than try and move and have a little infant at the same time. So we move up here. Gina's 8 months pregnant. So we move into Tom and Anna King's basement, man, because our house, we weren't able to close on our house for a few weeks. And so we move into their basement for a few weeks. And we're just hoping that baby didn't come early, you know, is what we're thinking. Then after that, we moved in for a few weeks with Anna King's parents. You know, they live on the other side of town. They live in Littleton. But they let us come and live in their basement, man, for a few weeks. We move into our house. We've been in there just a couple of days. Gina's undoing the boxes. And she finally gets her closet organized. Okay, she puts the last shoe in place. She goes into labor. We go to the hospital. We have the baby. We just moved into the house. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. But you know what? It's been fun. It's been great. God has been with us. And when we trust in the Lord, God begins to do supernatural things around us. And so I want to share that today as a word of encouragement to you in whatever you're facing. See, God's calling you to take a bold step of faith today in one area of your life, at least one. And when you begin to do that, and you trust in the Lord, and you don't lean on your own understanding, and then in all your ways you acknowledge Him, then He will make your paths straight. And that's what it really means to follow Christ. Let's just bow together for a few moments in prayer and reflection. God, in a time like this, there's many of us that are hurting and struggling, and God, many of us feel like quitting and even giving up on our faith and our family and our future. And God, we don't even know what You're doing. Sometimes we just get confused and overwhelmed. But Lord, I pray that today that the message of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 would just ring true in our hearts. And God, that we would begin to trust You. God, we're tired of trying to do life on our own. We're worn out trying to make all our own decisions and to feel the responsibility of trying to take care of every decision that needs to be made in our lives. God, what a beating it is. But God, we know that by trusting in You, God, You can do something in us that we cannot do in and through ourselves. And so that's why we trust You today. And Lord, I pray for every person that's hurting, every person that's struggling, every person that's discouraged today, God, that You would bring hope and faith and love into their hearts today as they walk with You and as You do something awesome in every person's life. And we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.